All right, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. And we'll read a few verses from there in a little bit. Know, there are many things in this world that we just can't see. We can't see individual atoms and subatomic particles like protons and electrons. We can't see cells and their contents, at least not without a microscope. We can't see gravity or magnetism. We can't see wind. We can't see germs. We can't see bacteria. We can't see viruses. Yet for each of these things, we believe they exist, and for good reason. We can certainly see the effects of gravity, of magnetism, of the wind, and ideally, if you're in North Carolina, we have these stay-at-home orders. You are complying with them. they're issued not just by the state, but also our county is doing this as well, because of this virus that we just can't see. But we see their effects. We see their effects. There is another thing that we just cannot see, but we believe exists. That's the Lord, His angels. In physics, we have three worlds, three realms that are governed by very different laws. We have our standard everyday world that we live in. We call it Newtonian because it was first the first laws of the laws of physics that govern it were developed by Isaac Newton. We have the relativistic world, where things traveling faster than the speed of light, discovered by Einstein, and we have the quantum world, discovered, well, really developed by the whole theory of quantum mechanics and quantum physics. Those are things that are really small, really small. And things in one world often can have effect on things in another. But there is, in fact, a fourth that science has yet to quantify. That is the spiritual world. We've already talked about that a little bit. The Lord and his angels, they fit in this spiritual world. But just as things in the quantum world affects things in our world, for instance, things in the spiritual world can affect ours too. And that leads me to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 15 through 18. So if you have your Bibles, please read. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his master said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. We note that the prophet Elisha was very attuned to this spiritual world in such an amazing way. While a Syrian army had descended upon him, he wasn't worried at all, not in the slightest, but his servant was. You see, these Syrians, if you read a little bit before this, before where we started, these Syrians thought that they had a spy in their midst because their plans were known to the Israelites, and the Israelites could counter. Then they realized that Israel had a man of God, a prophet on their side, able to know things that he shouldn't know under normal circumstances. So they come to Elisha to take him. Now, I don't know if they mean to kill him or just capture him. I would assume kill him, but I don't know. It doesn't get to that point. But the servant is scared. But then Elisha says, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." What do you mean, Elisha? Well, there's one, two, maybe there's a few others in the house. I don't know, but there's one or there's at least there's just two of us, a small handful, And just how many of them in the whole Syrian army? They're armed to the teeth. We don't stand a chance, Elisha. And Elisha prays and says, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And that's the title of this lesson, Open Our Eyes. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen what the servant saw? What an amazing sight! Horses and chariots of fire, all this in the spiritual world. Of course, none of this would do Elisha any good if the spiritual world couldn't affect ours in any way. And he proves that that it does through striking the Syrian army with blindness. Elisha had won the day because he was on the Lord's side. So, what lessons can we take from that? What applications can we make? Are we guaranteed the spiritual protections that Elisha had in terms of having an army surrounding us, protecting us from things? Well, I have to say no. And what I mean by that is many righteous men have gone on before us and died. Many of them have died horribly. What we can take from this is that if the Lord wills, he can do anything. He has more than the entire Syrian army. He does not promise us that we will weather every storm because some of us die. And obviously, if we die, we haven't weathered that storm, at least not physically. But he does promise to keep our souls come what may. I always think of the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. They're about to be burned alive in this fiery furnace. And they say to Nebuchadnezzar, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. We might be able to reword this to fit our situation in terms of the quarantines and the virus and all the stuff that's going on in our current world. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from COVID-19, and he will deliver us from that disease. But if not, let it be known that we will still serve the Lord. We recognize the possibility, and if, in fact, if we ignore all the safety precautions, the probability that maybe it's the Lord's will that we catch it, that we die from it. But we know he has the power. That means we must trust him. I'm not, perhaps you've seen the viral video of the Kenneth Copeland, the false teacher, deceiver. Anyway, he's trying to destroy COVID-19 just by blowing into the air. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That's ridiculous. That's not what we're talking about here. It means what I'm trying to get at here is that we trust in him. We trust in God. If it's his will for us to get it, then we must trust him. That's what should happen. If it's his will that we die from it, then we must trust him. If it's his will that we recover or never get infected at all, then we must trust him. That doesn't mean, of course, that we don't take precautions, but it means that he can accomplish his will regardless. Let us trust in him always. There are some promises that he does make, and we know that he can see them through, that he can keep his promises. He promises us all spiritual blessings if we are in Christ. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. All spiritual blessings are in the heavenly places in Christ. And he promised our souls. He promises that our souls will be saved if we're obedient to him. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, Hebrews 5, 9. And if we continue to trust in him, he will save our souls. We pray that the Lord open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, that you may see, be able to see that he does exist and that he loves you, and that he has sent his son to die for you. Thank you so much for listening, and we thank him so much for sending his son to die for us. See, there are some things that we need to do to make sure that we are saved. And what I mean is, we look at passages like Mark 16 and 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. You see, that's a promise that Jesus made. That's a promise that he made. And you know, he keeps his promises. You will be saved if you believe and are baptized. Gotta believe. You gotta believe what? You gotta believe that Jesus is the Son of God, which means you gotta believe in what he says, including that you need to be baptized. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So, this evening, there are some things that we need to do to be saved, to make sure that our place in heaven is secure. And what we need to do is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, turn away from our sinful state, confess the name of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then after that, after we've been baptized, to live a faithful life. Now, I know if you need to be baptized and you're not a Christian, you haven't put the Lord on in baptism, we can help you with that. If you are a local, we can help you with that, because it is such an important thing for us to do. And if you need to do that, we'll make sure that it happens as soon as humanly possible. If you aren't local, we can get you in touch with people who can make that happen. If you need to respond to the invitation, there'll be some instructions on the screen in a little bit. And we want you to make things right with God. It's too important to let it go, to let it slide. Please, make things right with God today. If you're not a Christian, be baptized. Make that decision to be baptized and be a part of his body, his church. And we can make that happen. And if you need to be restored in some way, if you need to repent of something, please let us know as we sing this song.